Welcome everybody to Parshas Toldos 5767. We have embarked on an approach to the Parsha of the week by looking at conversations with Hashem. This week's Parsha, very little conversation. We've also adopted the approach of interpreting the conversations with Hashem from a pre-Kabbalah approach and a Musar approach. Pre-Kabbalah is using sources such as Rabbi Luzzatto, where the insights of Kabbalah and pre-Kabbalah help us unify the various different segments of the Torah. And that's what I think the Kabbalah helps us do, is see everything as unified. There is a single purpose to the creation. The sages, the patriarchs, are trying to bring the world back to that single purpose after it has been put off course through the eating of the tree of knowledge, and the patriarchs are rectifying that. You see, there's a connection between the early stories and the later stories. The purpose of the development of the Jewish people is to create a society where we are all working towards that original purpose, etc. That's what the Kabbalah helps us do, is identify what it is that this is all about. And Rav Luzzatto has been a wonderful source for that. I have been blessed to uncover a source that I don't think I've ever looked at, a Musar approach to Torah from one of the American Gedolim, one of the American Torah giants. He was born here. He's no longer living, but he's used as an example of how an American-born young man can become truly a great Torah scholar. And there have been many since him. This is Rav Gedalia Shor, Zichrono Livracha. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas years ago, like probably in the 50s or 60s, maybe even before Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal and Rav Pam Zatzal. But he was considered to be an expert in mystical thought. He has a son who is prolific in that area as well. And I happened to look into the Sefer that we have on our shelf, one of the volumes on Bereishis, and I found something there which relates to the Parsha, is very high in terms of the pre-Kabbalah content and feeding into this unifying theme of Rav Luzzatto, also very applicable to the Musar content, does not address the conversations, which I'd like to bring up. That may be the weakest link of all, but it's quite amazing what he says, and I'd like to share that with you, along with integrating into the approach that we've taken so far. So as far as conversations, let's do that first. There's basically two conversations, one conversation that Hashem has with Yitzchak together with Rivka, that is when they're davening at the beginning of the Parsha. Yitzchak and Rivka were already married 20 years and they had not had a child. They are both entreating Hashem. The Torah uses a very unusual term for prayer, vayetar, which means entreaty, and Hashem answers them. So that's one conversation. Then shortly thereafter, Rivka conceives, and then she experienced this kicking, or this running inside of her. And Vayisrotzetzu habonim bekirba, the children were agitating inside. Vatomer im kein lama ze anochi, and she says, if so, why do I have this? Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem, and she went to seek Hashem. I think Rashi says she asked a prophet to interpret it. Vayomer Hashem la, Hashem said to her. This is how he answered through the prophet. Shnei goyim bevitnech. There are indeed two different nations in your womb. Ushnei leumim, and two regimes. Mimeayach yiporedu. From your insides will separate. Ulaom yelaom yeematz. The might shall pass from one regime to the other. Verav yavod so'ir, and the elder shall serve the younger. Famous words. A prophetic view of Yaakov and Esav, which began in the womb. That's a conversation of sorts, you know, through the prophet. So we're going to come back to that as well. Then, in chapter 26, there are two instances where Hashem converses with Yitzchak. Yitzchak experienced a famine, just like in the days of his father. He went towards the southwestern part of Israel, Pelishtim, which is around Gaza, the area today. And Hashem appears to him. Vayera Elov Hashem, this is 26 verse 2. Vayomer al Tered Mitzrayma, He says, do not go down to Mitzrayim, as your father had done during the famine in his day. Shechon ba'aretz asher omar elecha. Dwell in the land that I shall indicate to you. Gur ba'aretz hazos. Live in this land. Stay in Pelishtim. Be'eya imcha v'avarcheka. I will be with you and I will bless you. Kilecha ulezaracha etein es kol ha'aretzos ha'el. Because to you and to your offspring I will give these lands. Vakimosi es ha'shavua asher nishbati la'avraham avicha. I will uphold the oath that I made with your father Avraham. I will increase your descendants like the stars of the sky. And I will give, again, he repeats, I will give to your descendants all of these lands. And all of the nations of the world will be blessed by your descendants. So he seems to be conferring the same type of promise that he had made to Avraham years before, at this point, to Yitzchak. Eikev asher shama Avraham bekoli, vayishmor mishmarti mitzvosai v'chukosai v'sorosai. And he concludes by saying, why will I uphold this promise that I made to Avraham with you? Because Avraham obeyed my voice and observed my safeguards, my commandments, my decrees, and my Torahs. I'm very beholding to Avraham because of all that he did for me. And that is why I'm going to help you, Yitzchak. I don't know if you feel this way. I thought it was a little bit of a slight to say to Yitzchak, obviously I'm not criticizing, but just to make the point, just to open up the dialogue, to say, Yitzchak, I'll help you because your father was a great man. What is Yitzchak? Chopped liver? You know, very often somebody will come over to you and say, I knew your father, I knew your mother, and they were wonderful. But usually they'll say that if they don't know you. So they say, well, you must have some merit because you had great parents. But here Yitzchak is tried and tested. He stood the test of the Akedah with his father 23 years ago. He's already 60. He's been a righteous man at least ever since he was born, really. But he's tried and tested. Why the emphasis on Avraham? And the same type of dialogue, so that not to construe this as insignificant, the same thing when Hashem speaks to Yitzchak later after the famine is over, after he leaves the Philistim, he seems to use the same type of speech. Verse 23, Vayal Misham Beersheva, he went up from there to Beersheva, Vayera Elov Hashem Balailo Hahu, and Hashem appeared to him on that night, Vayomer Anochi Elokei Abraham Avicha, and he says, it is I, the God of your father Avraham. It doesn't say I'm your God, I'm your father's God. Ki itcha anochi uveirachticha v'yerbesi ezaracha. Once again, reaffirming his promise, I'm with you and I will bless you and I will increase your descendants. Ba'avur Avraham avdi, for the sake of Avraham, my servant. So why does Yitzchak have to be given reassurances and promises for the sake of Avraham, his father? Why doesn't he stand alone on his own merit? Again, that's the weakest link because A, I don't know if it's a valid question. B, I don't know if what I'm going to tell you really answers it, but it may. But here's where I'd like to go into our pre-Kabbalah system. And let me just a few notes of summary, and then I will share with you the new insights which I gained with Hashem's help from Rav Shor. So going back, everything goes back to the Garden of Eden, when Hashem created Adam, and as Rav Luzzatto states in Derech Hashem, the Way of God, that Hashem's desire was to create a creature who would have the capacity to connect with Him, with God, out of a free will and choice to do so, that Hashem would give him an option of good or evil, and by man exercising his free will to choose good, he would thus earn an attachment to God, and that would be his portion in everlasting life in the world to come. And when Adam was first created, he himself internally was filled only with an inclination to do good and to attach himself to God. There was no internal Yetzer Hara. Because of the opportunity, which was also part of his choice, and the availability of this Eitz HaDaas, Tov HaRa, this tree of knowledge of good and evil, when that was consumed, that changed the internal makeup of Adam. And now he became aware of both good and evil within him. And thus the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara is born. The internal Yetzer Hara in man. Man now has a much harder job in making the right choices. Now, we've said that before. Let's just analyze that a bit. What does it mean that he has a harder job? Until now, his job was to do good. Now, his job is twofold. He has to, and I'm going to use the phrase that King David uses in Tehillim. It's in the Shabbos, Pesukei de Zimra, near the beginning of Pesukei de Zimra, Le David b'shanoso. And then it says, Mi ha'ish ha'chapetz chayim, and then the mem, and then the netzor l'shon chameiraz, and then sur meira ba'asei tov, ba'kei shalom v'radfehu. It's in that psalm. He has to sur meira, he has to turn away from evil, va'asei tov. And then he has to do good. Whereas before, all he had to do was do good, now he first has to turn away from evil and do good. By the way, Sur Meira Va'aseh Tov is the premise of Rabbi Lusato's Sefer Mesilas Yeshorim, which I've also quoted many times, The Path of the Just, in which he develops a ladder where one climbs in spiritual and character refinement. And he says that there's a ladder of various qualities. The first quality after involvement in Torah is the hirus, watchfulness. Watchfulness is a quality in which a person thinks about what he's doing and stops himself from just acting on impulse, but actually using his thought to refrain from doing that which is improper. The next step is the step of zerizus, of alacrity and enthusiasm, a quality with which one sets about doing good deeds. Rabbi Lutzato says that this is a two-step process that we've just referred to. Sur meira ba'aseh tov. First, make sure you're not doing the wrong thing, and then go do the right thing. And as he says, in order to properly climb this ladder, you really have to do it in that order. Imagine what it would be like to do good without turning away from evil. If a person was just a do-gooder, but not a not-do-better, then a lot of the good deeds that would be done may be done with undesirable compliments. Could you imagine a person who, out of their great zerizus, their great desire to help others and to do acts of kindness, goes and invites lots of people, let's say, to dine with them on Shabbos. And so they were doing this great mitzvah and putting forth much energy to do this. A lot of zerizus. They come to the house and they sit around the table, but because they have not trained themselves in the Sur Meira, they sit around and they speak Lashon Hara at the table. Imagine if there would be such a thing. In other words, it's possible to do good without turning away from evil. And there's many, many examples. And imagine the other way around. Imagine a person who was endowed with a keen sense of discipline and self-restraint, and was able to be very careful and dutiful about not doing wrong, not hurting people, not speaking badly, not being dishonest with money. We'd say that's a very virtuous person. But if a person was just a sur meira person, but not an aseh tov, did not necessarily have the quality of zrizus, where they would look for opportunities to help and to do, they might be almost like a policeman in their approach to Judaism and Torah. Wouldn't that also seem to lack something important? Imagine an example I would give. Somebody has committed themselves to be Shomer Shabbos. They find out what all of the forbidden actions are on Shabbos, and they're very careful, meticulous, not to violate any of those laws of forbidden work. So their home is 100% Shomer Shabbos home. So what do? They sleep all day. No davening, no study, no Shabbos meal. But they're Shomer Shabbos. They're not doing anything wrong. You're right. They're not doing anything wrong. And they're not doing anything right either. That's Sur Meirah without Aseh Tov. And a complete approach to Torah is Sur Meirah Va'aseh Tov. Both. Because the state of man after the sin is Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, our job is now Sur Meirah Va'aseh Tov. Stay away from evil and do good. I think, by the way, this gave me an understanding of what we say in the Shema. It's always bothered me. In the Shema, it says, after the first verse, V'yohavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol miyodecha. Love Hashem your God with all of your heart. Now, in the Hebrew, it's spelled with two vavs, levavcha, which literally translated would be with all of your hearts. If you wanted to say all of your heart, you would say b'chol libecha. Levavcha, Rashi points out, is double. So Rashi says this means love Hashem with your two inclinations, your Yetzer HaTov and your Yetzer Hara. Now, I really didn't understand it so well. I love Hashem with my Yetzer Tov, with my good inclination. I don't love Hashem with my Yetzer Hara. But maybe what Rashi means is you have to love Hashem realizing that you have a double duty. You really have a double job. You have a Yetzer HaTov and you have a Yetzer Hara. Your love of Hashem has to deal with both. You have to engage in Sur Meirah and in Aseh Tov. It's not enough to love Hashem with your Yetzer Tov, your impulse to do good, and that's all you do. What have you done about your Yetzer Hara? Have you subdued your Yetzer Hara? Is that part of your love of Hashem? And that's what it means. Now, our job is twofold. Sur Meirah v'Aseh Tov. That's what it means. B'chol levavcha. In the sports world, there's offense and there's defense. Basketball is a favorite sport of mine. You know, these players are so good, they can just make basket after basket, three-pointer after three-pointer. How come it's so hard to score? Because they have to do all of that when somebody else, equally as good, is trying to defend against him and trying to stop him from doing that. That's what it's like. That's what it's like trying to do mitzvahs. And if anybody doesn't think that that's part of the process, is missing half of the job. You know, you can't just get up and say, I'm going to just do good all day long. What about the Sur Meirah? There's a defense. So you have to learn how to play defense and play offense at the same time. That's what Sur Meirah Ba'aseh Tov is. Now let's get to our Avos. Rav Shor says that Avram Avinu is the Bechina. Bechina is like a Kabbalistic word. It means he is the aspect, or he represents, or he embodies the aspect of, well, first of all, an association that we've probably worked with before is Chesed as the Mida of Avraham and Gevura as the Mida of Yitzchak. And as Avram embodying the trait of kindness, Yitzchak embodying the trait of strength. Rav Short interprets this in this way. Sur Meirah Va'aseh Tov. Avraham's trait was the trait of Aseh Tov. Do chesed, do. Yitzchak's midah was the midah of gevura. Don't do, don't violate. Sur Meirah. Avraham was always doing. He went out there and he was makarev. He brought everybody close. He was doing. He was welcoming the guests. Yitzchak didn't do all that. Yitzchak didn't have an outreach organization. Yitzchak had one student, his own son. Yitzchak was working on Gevura, on Sur Meirah. And each one introduced these midos into the world. But as we said before, neither one without the other is a complete mode of service of God, nor does it rectify the lowered state of Adam. In order to rectify and to bring man back up to the higher state, there's got to be a Sur Meirah. And therefore, it was destined to be that neither Avraham nor Yitzchak was going to be the final product, so to speak, in terms of being the ultimate patriarch. Our sages indeed say that Avraham and Yitzchak, they've started it, Avraham is the cause, he's the beginning point, but he's not known as the Bechir Shebiyavos, the choicest, the perfect specimen. That is created later as a culmination from Avraham and from Yitzchak's Midos. At this point, I want to address the conversation. When Hashem speaks to Yitzchak, and he says, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to provide for you, I'm going to make you a great nation, he has to say, Ba'avur Avraham. He has to throw in the fact that Yitzchak is just building onto something else that Avraham already created. Yitzchak's mode of service in and of itself, if it would only be a mode of service of Sur Meira, that wouldn't be enough for the Jewish people to rest upon. It's only because Avraham Avdi created the concept of Aseh Tov, and you, Yitzchak, came along and complemented that with the Sur Meira, that we're going to be able to continue on from you. And that could be why, whenever he speaks to Yitzchak, he reminds him of the Midah of Avraham. That's not to say that Yitzchak didn't learn it from Avraham, but we're not just talking about people in the Kabbalistic sense, we're talking about spiritual dimensions, spiritual qualities. Yitzchak does not stand alone. Any questions so far?
Yes, why is it that Avraham had many students and Yitzchak had but one?
For this distinction, Avraham was Aseh Tov. His main focus was Chesed, was doing, and doing for others. And Yitzchak, that was not his focus. His focus was not doing wrong. When you concentrate on not doing wrong, you don't attract students.
Okay, but wasn't there the danger then that he would not fulfill God's prophecy if he was so insulated?
Well, he had his role to create this type of gevurah, this type of strength, and it wasn't going to be only from him. That's why I'm saying it was the combination of the two that was going to create the ultimate product. And we're going to speak about the ultimate product in just a minute. Now, what is the next step? The next step is to try to create this final product that does both. Sur Meira V'Aseh Tov, concentrating on both fronts. That's what the world is going to need in order to rectify the state of Adam. So here is where the main story of the Parsha comes in. In the most famous or the most talked about story is where Rivka delivers her twin boys, and it's Yaakov and it's Esav. And Esav is a hunter, and Yaakov sits in the tent and studies Torah. And Yitzchak is getting older, and he wants to give a blessing. And he selects his son Esav to give the blessing of all worldly good. And it's Rivka who sabotages that plan and ends up putting Yaakov in his place. And everybody talks about this. What was Yitzchak thinking? What did Rivka know that he didn't know? And why was there this change? You know, most people are bothered by the fact that if Esav is indeed such an evil person, why would Yitzchak seek to give him blessings that would give him an upper hand in the world? Says Rav Shor, Yitzchak had a vision because he was familiar with these two ideas. He knew his father, Aseh Tov. He knew himself, Sur Meira. He had two sons. Yaakov just wanted to do good. He didn't even think about evil. He was almost like living in Gan Eden. Esav, of course, was very familiar with evil. But Yitzchak thought that Esav had some good in him also. He thought that he would have enough good that he would be able to specialize in Sur Meira. He had the Ra, he had the evil, and he had enough good to use the good to turn away from evil. What Yitzchak envisioned, and this is a whole new way of looking at it, we've discussed other approaches before. I'll just say them for contrast. I'll just mention one approach, is that Yitzchak envisioned a partnership where Esav would take care of the bread and Yaakov would take care of the spirit. You know, material versus spiritual. What Rav Shor is describing goes back to the real ingredients of this Lutzatoin model, Sur Meirav Ase Tov. He envisioned that Esav would take care of Sur Meirav. He would take care of knowing enough about the evil of the world and being able to stay away from it. And then Yaakov could concentrate on Ase Tov. And to bring this down to earth, it's very, very easy for us to imagine this. Well, maybe not so easy. Could you imagine if all of the nations of the world, if the society that we lived in, the United States, Europe, all these countries, would take a stand and decide with devotion, with a religious conviction, that they are not going to tolerate evil and injustice? You know what? It's the seven Noahide laws. Could you imagine if the nations of the world would take it upon themselves to take care of the seven Noahide laws, what kind of a society we would have? Not to be Jewish. In fact, not to do any Ase Tov, no tzedakah, no Torah, no prayer, just Sur Meira. Don't murder. Don't be immoral. Don't steal. Could you imagine what kind of a world we would live in? Can you imagine what the Jewish people would do with that kind of a world? They would sit, figuratively and literally, sit in the tent and study Torah. They would have nothing to do all day but Aseh Tov. They would do Chesed all day. They would give Tzedakah, Torah, Avodah, Kevilus, Chasadim. Why aren't we on that level? Why aren't we able to devote ourselves so wholeheartedly to doing good? The answer is clear. Because there's so much evil in the world, and nobody is helping to get rid of it. Nobody is working on the Sur Meira. So how can you expect to do so much Ase Tov when you also have to do the Sur Meira first? I always say to my wife, she says, how come I didn't accomplish anything today? And I say, you accomplished great things. You have children, Kanayinahara, at home. And you have to keep them out of trouble. That in itself is a full-time job. Just keeping them out of trouble. But that's the truth. It's an avoda to be Sur Meira. Could you imagine if we didn't have to do that Sur Meira because it was done by somebody else? Could you imagine how much more Ase Tov we could do? So that was Yitzchak's vision. Yitzchak's vision would be that Esav, who knows what Ra is, but has enough Tov to work on Sur Meira. That would have been the complete model. Esav and Yaakov working in harmony. Esav would make sure that the world has a good spiritual climate, i.e., no evil is being perpetrated, and Yaakov would be able to be Ase Tov all the time. That would have rectified the sin of Adam. What Rivka knew that Yitzchak didn't know is that Esav's Tov was really only skin deep. Kitzayid befiv. He talked that way. He would ask his father occasionally a question, which would make Yitzchak think that he had a little bit of Tov in him, and Rivka knew he didn't even have that much. Consequently, by the way, the reason why Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav was because when you are battling against Ra, you need help, you need resources, you need money, you need power, etc., to battle the forces of evil. I mean, there are all the other nations, the other 70 nations who are the evil. And Esav has to know them, and Esav has to be able to counteract them. So he needed all this worldly help. But Rivka saw that Esav is not going to be Sur Meira. He's just going to just do Ra, like the rest of them, and maybe worse. So, unfortunately, the double duty is going to have to fall upon Yaakov. And Yaakov and his descendants are committed and doomed to a life of Sur Meira Ase Tov. There's no one else to do it. So what became apparent in this parsha, that rather than having a teamwork of Yaakov and Esav in the Sur Meira Ase Tov, it all fell on Yaakov. And that's why Rivka said, Yaakov is going to need all those blessings. Yaakov is going to have to contend with the nations of the world, including Esav is going to be an ally of them. He's going to need the protection. He's going to need the power. He's going to need the wealth. And thus, we were condemned to doing this double duty. And this is the hard work that the Ramchal is talking about, that is much harder now because Sur Meira Ba'ase Tov. Going back, just to refer back to the verse that we read at the beginning of the Parsha, when it says that Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, there are two nations in your womb. Rashi, an unusual type of comment, he actually interprets the funny spelling. In the Chumash, the word Goyim, instead of Gimel Vav Yud Mem, it's Gimel Yud Yud Mem, which doesn't really look like Goyim, it looks like Geyim. And Rashi says Geyim refers to, the word Ge'eh is like proud people. And Rashi says that this is an allusion to two friends, one from descendant of Edom, which is another name for Esau, and one descendant of Yaakov. Namely, in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Mishnaic sages, there was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Judah the prince, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, of the high court, and he was very close. This was in the Roman period, Roman exile. He was very close with the Caesar Antoninus, Antonius Caesar. So Antonius and Rebbe were very close friends. So Rashi says that's why the Torah spells it Geyim, Gimel Yud Yud Mem, because it refers to these two proud and happy friends. And Rav Shor says, why is Rashi interpreting it that way? The simple explanation is two rivals, two rivalries. Shnei Goyim Bevitnech. So he says, but it is possible for this vision of Yitzchak, it is theoretically within the realm of possibility. When Rebbe and Antoninus were good friends, they really worked hand in hand like this. Antoninus kept the evil away, and Rebbe was able, it was a very glorious time in the Jewish history. It is possible. It's not that Yitzchak was wrong. Yitzchak was right in theory. He had the right idea. I believe that in the Messianic age, what we are going to see is a fulfillment of Yitzchak's vision. We're going to see that the nations of the world, of course, Hashem is going to have to intervene, and he's going to have to reveal his presence and show the fallacy of all of the evil that people pursue. Well, we were just studying in the book of Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, how he describes the Messianic age and how all of the things that people spend so much time and put so much reliance upon, the political leaders, he says they're going to lose their position and their power. He talks about, it's so contemporary, I mean, it's unbelievable. He talks about pornography and how women rule the men by alluring them, and he describes all the different ornaments and the different gestures that they use and the eye winks and the legs, and it's unbelievable in the third chapter of Isaiah and how Hashem is going to take away beauty from women, not the righteous women. He's going to bring the world to their senses to see that all of the things that people think are valuable, but are really at the root of evil, are vain and are powerless. And that's when people are going to come to their senses and they are going to say, so how do we learn this God thing? And you know what they're going to do? They're going to run to Israel and they're going to say, you know about this, Beis Yaakov, the house of Jacob, L'chuv v'nelcha, come and show us the right way. And they're going to want to join forces with us. It's just that in the present situation, and Rivka had her knowledge, her insight, her bina, that it just wasn't going to work at this time. Could it have worked? Maybe to some degree it has. Would we say that the world is closer to God because of Christianity? Is there more of a concept of monotheism? The Rambam says that they had the power to do, to teach the world about monotheism. Maybe they've also participated in evil as well by persecutions of Jews. But I don't know what we're going to say about the Muslims. But the point is that it is theoretically possible for other nations, even though it's only Avraham, Lech Lecha, that's going to break into the realm of Aseh Tov. But is it possible that the other nations can be our allies, at least in the area of Sur Meira, so that the Jewish people can really concentrate on the Aseh Tov? Yitzchak's vision does have merit and does have potential. But for the time being, Rivka Imenu, our foremother Rivka, taught us that we can't rely on that. We're going to have to do it all ourselves. Sur Meira v'Aseh Tov. And in the personal way, in Musar message, we follow Rabbi Luzzatto, and that is the formula. He says, you want to grow religiously, first, here's the process. You first attach yourself to Torah, you study Torah, and then you begin, first step first, Zihirus, be watchful, stay away from evil. And he tells you about offense and defense. He says, if you want to stay away from evil, you have to do this proactively, you have to hang around with good people, you have to sit down to make a cheshbon hanefesh, an accounting of the soul, on a daily basis, and he gives you the steps. And then he says, oh, and these are all the things that you have to stay away from, because they take you away from watchfulness. Again, it's the Sur Meira Ba'asei Tov, even to acquire watchfulness. And then after you get watchfulness, then you have to start on Zerizus, which is the alacrity to really do good. This is, in a practical level, Musar, character development, it's Sur Meira Ba'asei Tov. And that is our avoda. That has been our avoda since the time of Gan Eden, and that is the exact system and how this will be developed in the world is being discussed right here in Parshas Toldos between Yitzchak and Rivka.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.